Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 16th, 286th day of the new year. Joining us, we're not sure how long, history teacher Bill Crow. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
See what happens? You pop in out here, you never really know what to anticipate, huh?
Boy, walk in the door.
There you go. This morning we're going to spend a little bit of time. Bill is a history teacher in one of his many areas of interest and had an interesting suggestion made. What, last week?
During the week, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll kind of tee it up, and then we'll go to the break, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about it.
All right, we're just talking about World War I and some of the events of the war and some of the battles, that how horrendous it was. And one of the students asked about the Christmas Truce of 1914.
Had they heard a rumor of it?
Oh, they had heard about it, and I had to check on some of the misinformation they had.
You mean the PR guys really took hold of this thing and did something with it? It wasn't just straight truth?
Oh, it's not. Not just straight.
Oh, very cool. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about the realities and the myths.
All right.
Of Christmas 1914 on the battlefront when we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Professor Crow. Ooh. Do they really call you that?
No. Well, the students do and the booksellers do.
Really? Oh, very cool. Very cool. If you're just joining us, we're going to talk a little bit, in a real little bit, about the Christmas Truce of World War II.
World War One.
Can't even count to one anymore. Bill, what are the general perceptions of what happened that holiday season?
Well, the perception that is pervasive is one that the Christmas truce was across the entire battlefield, and everybody was out there just shaking hands and singing songs and Silent Night and all that. And I did some research on it and found that there were a lot of myths in it. It was fairly limited. It was discouraged by the officers. It was something that was done basically by the lower-ranking troops. The thing about the football game, and one of the things that I had been talking about was that, everybody get out. They were out there playing soccer. Well, you know, we call it soccer. They call it football. And there's no contemporary evidence that ever happened. Nobody wrote about it in their letters home or anything. It's something that has come about just through a myth later on.
Maybe it was a bad pumpkin that somebody kicked?
Well, there was some comments about a ball, but it wasn't that they were out there playing soccer.
What about the gift exchange concept? Did that happen?
Again, it was on a limited basis. There were some areas where people were being friendly and going out and just celebrating the season. It was 1914. The war had begun in August. The fighting had been fairly intense, but of short duration. But there was still fighting going on. One of the sources that I found showed that there were some officers and some British soldiers that were killed on Christmas Day. So it wasn't, everybody was all lovey-dovey out there. There were snipers and still shooting going on. So, and then as the war went on, obviously, like I said, it was discouraged by the officers the higher command once they heard about it. And then as the war went on in 1915, we're coming up to the 100th anniversary in the 100th anniversary of the war. And in 1915, there were more battles. People thought this war was going to be over, and it was still going on, and not a lot of love and peace out there, so that it didn't happen in 15. And then in 1916, after the major battles, the Battle of the Somme, that killed or wounded over 1 million soldiers on both sides, there was not love out there on
Christmas
Day. Yeah,
I would figure the longer it had gone, the more people had friends and comrades go down. Yeah, things changed a little bit. So what was the source of what had kind of become the urban myth of what had happened?
Yeah, it's people want to have good feelings. And with that, there is basis to the story. I mean, people did stop fighting. They did go out. They exchanged
pleasantries.
When you say exchange gifts, it was coffee or cigarettes or something along that line.
What they had.
Yeah. And so people hear about that, and that gets played up, and then that becomes the prevalent story that this is. Everywhere it happened.
But, must have been before the gas was used.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. Yeah, by 1914, after 1914, we started using the gas and, of course, the machine guns and all the modern technology that made this the Great War, the war, the end all wars.
Is there a legacy from this? I mean, has it been replicated anywhere, the concept of during a special time of the year?
Yeah. In fact, the sources I went into said that there were other times when people did stop the fighting and tried to or had that type of camaraderie. They did try it at Easter time in 1915, but that was again discouraged by the higher command on both sides and didn't happen.
They fought over the eggs and the rabbit?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They scrambled the eggs and ate the rabbit.
If you want more information about this, is there a good central source?
The BBC has a good source online about World War I, obviously with the 100th anniversary again.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, you're welcome.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend, the best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:34. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Bill's out of the booth. Dobie Class is with us. Dobie's the Public Works Director for the City of Arcata. Not talking city specifically, but Estelle Fennell was on Wednesday talking a little bit about this proposal, I guess is kind of what it is at this point, for an infrastructure funding mechanism for the County of Humboldt and the jurisdictions within. Yeah. Is there, Dobie, any sense? Is it going to be a bond? Is it going to be a tax? Is it going to be an assessment? Because all those certainly have different executions and different technical definitions. Do you know? Does anybody know yet what this thing might be that's kind of swirling around?
Well, I'd say, thanks, obviously, for having me on. And the first thing I'd say is this is really a preliminary step. All I think that the County Board of Supervisors and then going forward to the Humboldt County Association of Governments board is a discussion whether to even fund a poll to see if any type of funding, support is out there.
The 30 grand study.
The 30 grand study, yeah. But, looking down the road, really, I think the problem is, I can tell you here is that, all of us, directors, public works, city engineers see is that, the roads are in getting, worse and worse condition, and we're on the slide right now. So we need some local funding mechanism, in our opinion, that we have control over, and it's not subject to kind of the whim and fancy of either the federal government or the state government. And many other state counties are really showing that this is the way to fund, get these mechanisms done. And right now the discussion has been, obviously, that it's going to be based upon a sales tax, and either that would be 0.25% or possibly 0.5%. And of course, it would be a special tax. It would need to be a two-thirds majority vote. And you can't just say, oh, well, you know, we said we were going to spend it on roads, but now we decided to, put it into the swimming pool fund. It has very specific uses and typically an oversight board. So that's the preliminary step we're at right now.
Now, there was, I would say, success with the Humboldt Lodging Alliance in putting together a special assessment of them governed by representatives of those who were paying to allocate dollars. Mm-hmm. So that it wasn't going to be a bed tax, it wasn't going to go to the cities, and who knows where things might disappear. Is that one of the considerations to do something like that, or is that still too preliminary at this point? Is that kind of what the study is supposed to ferret out?
Well, again, I think the study is really to see, is there even the support at the person-by-person level by polling to see if there's support for anything? Do people really, one, do they perceive that there's truly a problem? And do they think that we ought to put money towards it? And two, maybe what fleet of projects would they be supporting? That's another thing we'll be asked is, we would be asked, cities, the county, what if we got that money, what would we do with it? And how are we going to have accountability for that money rather than just a typical, general fund, et cetera, that, you just kind of throw it out there and, patch up whichever holds the biggest. This is a very special, designation. And, the accountability, I think that's what, the constituents would be looking for the most is the accountability, because that's one of the discussions why this is even being discussed, is there is some feeling in the community that some of the recent tax measures that have been passed haven't necessarily gone where they thought they were going.
Yeah, it's too early for Measure Z to be that way. One of the considerations that I heard initially was immediately thinking, okay, what about the delineation or the distinction between commercial and residential? Mm-hmm. The commercial guys, many of them are already at a disadvantage because of Richardson's Grove, mm-hmm. because of some of the state emission standards mm-hmm. that have been whipped on them that are immediate. I mean, there's no, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And doing commerce in California is tough sledding anyway. With, I guess we would call it Dobie's plant.
Well, no, please don't.
Is there any recognition of that or distinction, or is everybody paying the same, and if you happen to have a high volume or a rig that's out more often than others, I mean, if you just commute to work, okay, it's a whole different ball game for you and a different impact level mm-hmm. than if it's something else.
Yeah, I would say at least the way it's being talked about right now, if you're talking about an individual assessment on property, that would be one thing. And then obviously the people that hold more property or more valuable property, if you put it into like an equivalent dwelling unit process, similar to I believe the way the some of the fire districts have done it, and there's a current one on there, that that maybe the perception would be those with more are charged more. How that relates to commercial property, I don't know the particular, but at least what's being discussed now is a generalized sales tax.
Just a regular across-the-board sales tax.
Yeah, and if it was a 0.25%, that's the same amount of funding that we receive regionally, countywide, for what we call the TDA, the transit development money. And that's about $4.8 to $5 million a year. And then you would further...
countywide. Within the county.
Yeah, okay. Countywide. So it's... and that's a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you, that's not even enough to get us out to maintain what we call the condition of the pavement, the condition pavement index right now. But it's a good start. And the county gets that amount of money right now shared regionally wide through all the various transit agencies. But the other discussion obviously would be how we're going to share that money. If you went to some other type of taxing mechanism, whether it be through property assessment, whether it be through how much money you gross, possibly. I mean, there's all kinds of ideas, whether you're going to put up a toll road. You know, those are, that's a whole different ball of wax, at least at this time. And I think it will be discussed. Specifically, though, to Richardson Grove, what we're talking about is this is a self-help for the county, not for the state infrastructure. This money would be focused on your city, your county roads, not into the greater infrastructure of the state.
So Highway 101, 36299 would not see anything with
no,
this?
No, not at this time. They have their funding mechanism, which, of course, is coming up short, too, which is called basically their maintenance plan, what they call the SHOP plan. And then they have their capital side, which is, I believe, where they were funding the 101 widening project. But interestingly enough, those of you that have been over 299 this year, seen all the construction, we're on the verge of true interstate traffic across 299 here. It's coming. And, you know, the discussion, oh, I can't bring big trucks here, we're going to at least have that.
It'll be an option
very soon. Yeah. And that is the, you know, you look at the hub, you know, getting to the rail, getting to, you know, the 5 corridor, and then ultimately down to the 80 corridor. You know, that's our shortest path. There's a lot of other things on the 101, not to mention all the stuff down south, the SMART. You think of the traffic. When was the last time you drove to San Francisco at rush hour? Okay, it's getting tougher and tougher. And they're not going to do a whole lot of quote-unquote capacity-increasing projects down there, at least my understanding, through Marin County specifically, right? There's some sections there that you've got a lobby that's going to take 20, 30 years before they're adding lane miles there.
Huh. Like Richardson's Grove. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Dobie Class.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dobie Class, the Public Works Director out of Arcata. Dobie, the concept of this effort to generate additional dollars for roads and infrastructure, is the question going to be for roads specifically? What form would you be more comfortable in paying? Sales tax, gas tax, mm-hmm. user fee, or the toll road concept, and a special assessment district, Is that kind of what the gist of this study is going to try to ferret out, if there is a way to make that happen?
Well, I'd say, again, the initial concept here is to see, is there even support to get people to support more money for transportation? And if you're interested in this, if you really care about your transportation infrastructure, you want to get potholes fixed, if you're interested in more transit improvements, if you're interested in sidewalks, trails, all that kind of stuff, you want to let your elected officials hear about this, because there was a postponement of a vote yesterday at HCOG, and next month they will be meeting again to, you know, vote on this, whether to spend this money and do this poll. But really, the polling is to see what will people support. And, you know, not that I'm a panderer to it, but obviously we don't want to spend your hard-earned dollars doing things you don't want. And if it's pothole fixing, if it's, you know, maintenance, overlays, seal coats, putting in those sidewalks, you know, improving some transit infrastructure is one that comes up all the time. You know, trails, those are the kinds of things they're going to be putting out in this poll to see how and what you want supported. So that's really what it's about.
So if you're a sidewalk gal, you can say, if this is for sidewalks, I'm for it. If it's for buses, get away from me.
Well, certainly. I
mean, you have that kind of opportunity.
And that's what I think will be asked in the end, is for all the cities and county to come together with, what are we going to do with this money? What are we going to deliver? And how and by when? That would be the other thing that I would be expecting you to tell us, when you want it and what you want.
Thanks for coming by. I want a weekend. All right. It's almost here. Join us Monday for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.